Well, back in the early 60s, there was a television show called The Alfred Hitchcock Hour. Some of you may remember it or have seen reruns of it. And there was a particular episode that aired in February of 1964 called Final Escape. And it was about a man named John Perry, who was a convicted bank robber, and he was on his way to prison for 15 years. But he, in his mind, decided that he would not spend 15 years of his life in prison. So he began thinking of a strategy to escape. And so as he was on the bus pulling in, he happened to notice that there was a cemetery right outside the gate of the prison. And he saw a prisoner working there by himself, an older guy with the prison jumpsuit on. And he began to think about how that might come into play for his escape plan. So once he got settled in prison, he got to know this guy. His name was Doc, and Doc's assignment was to work in the cemetery and work among making those arrangements. And so John gave him this idea. What if the next time someone dies, I sneak into the coffin, and then the coffin is taken outside the gate, it gets buried, but since you work out there, you can dig me up, and then I'll escape. And the guy thought it sounded pretty risky, and so John incentivized his offer a little bit more, and they came to an agreement. Well, finally, the bell tolled one night, and John knew this was his night to jump into the casket, and so he did, under the cover of darkness, make his way there. He jumped in next to the body in the casket, and that next morning, a smile was on his face as that casket was being carried out. He knew this was his escape plan, and it was working perfectly. Even as he was lowered into the ground, he knew it was all coming together. And so he waited for Doc to dig him back up. And he waited. And he still waited and wondered, where is Doc? He should have been here by now. I wonder what's holding him up. And so the darkness was really overwhelming to him, and he had a pack of matches in his pocket. And so he lit one, and to his horror, do you know who he saw next to him? Yeah, you saw it too. Yeah, it was Doc. And the one who he was counting on to redeem him was laying right there in the grave next to him. Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, why did you do that? You spoiled the ending. And I just want to say, this thing came out in 1964. So if you haven't seen it by now, you probably weren't going to be seeing it anyway. Well, John himself was looking for an opportunity to turn the despair of prison into a hopeful escape. And yet what happened? It went right back to utter despair again. Well, the message of Easter is that there is hope beyond the grave. Jesus indeed had the ultimate final escape from death. And as we look in God's word today in Luke chapter 24, we're going to see that on that first Easter Sunday, there were many of his followers who were rejoicing. There were some who didn't quite understand what was going on. And in fact, there were even a couple of them that were in absolute despair. And we're going to see that the Lord has a tender and timely message for his disciples to help them see what exactly his resurrection was all about. So let's begin reading in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood beside them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. Now we know from other accounts that these ladies were in fact interacting with angels. Angels who were there declaring that Jesus had risen, just as he had said that he would. Now, as we think about that, these women that heard that message rushed back to announce to the disciples that he had risen. They were excited. They were exuberant. They couldn't wait to tell the disciples what they had just experienced. But do you think all the disciples believed them? Let's keep reading. Verse 11. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away amazed at what had happened. So just picture this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ had just occurred. Some of the followers, these ladies, had the encounter with an angel. Angels to hear that he was alive. And yet, even when the disciples heard that message, there were many of them that just were not ready to believe. And in fact, as we're going to see, there were a couple who were in outright despair. Let's pick back up in verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, 'What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you were walking?' And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, 'Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know what the things that happened there in these days?'" What a question to ask Jesus himself. Now, we know that Easter Sunday is a day to commemorate the resurrection. We know that today is a day of victory. We are living in the year 2023. We have the opportunity to look back and to reflect on the victory that Christ achieved on that day. But for those who were there in the moment, those who were there on that first resurrection Sunday, as we see, there were some who were confused. There were some, like these two, that just weren't able to understand what was happening. And for these on the road to Emmaus, their uncertainty led to despair. And that's the first point that I want us to think about this morning, the road to despair. Now, I know they were on the road to Emmaus, but for them, it was a time of desperation. They could not understand what they had experienced. Remember, at this point, the followers of Jesus thought that Jesus would be doing what? Ruling Jerusalem, right? We saw last week, Palm Sunday, triumphal entry, the whole city excited that this miracle worker from Galilee was on his way into Jerusalem on Passover. They were celebrating not just the fact that they had been delivered from the Egyptian slavery so many years ago, now they were under the bonds of the Roman Empire, and they just knew that Jesus was the one that was going to remove the yoke of the Romans. But instead of ruling, Jesus had been killed. And not only killed, but he was killed in a most humiliating and gruesome way. Crucifixion. A way that would have only been done by the Romans for the worst criminals. And yet there Jesus had just gone to the cross. This despair is seen in Cleopas and his friend as they are on the road to Emmaus. If you look at the end of verse 17, it says that they looked discouraged. Some versions use the word downcast. Now, here's what I think the issue is. They had only been looking to Jesus in their own terms. They'd only been looking at who he was based upon their agenda, on their expectations. And so when Jesus didn't fulfill what they had been thinking and hoping for, then it resulted in great despair. In fact, if you look at verse 21, it even uses the word hope. They had hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel from the Romans. But instead, the Romans crucified Jesus. So as they walked along the road, they're talking about all of this. They're discussing these things. In fact, the passage we read said they were even arguing about it some. And that's when Jesus shows up. Notice he meets them in their point of need. He meets them when their faith was in crisis. And he comes to walk alongside, to hear them, hear their questions, and then to be able to respond. Now, we don't know for sure why they didn't recognize Jesus. Maybe it was because they were still looking at things through their own agenda. They weren't quite ready to think about a Messiah who had risen from the grave. But on this first resurrection Sunday, we see that even those who had followed Jesus were struggling. Would you agree that hopelessness and despair can be quite paralyzing? That hopelessness and despair can even have a greater effect than the emotional turmoil that it can cause. In fact, I read at one point that the American Heart Association said that someone who lives with prolonged hopelessness actually has a physical response where arteries begin to narrow by 20%. Can you believe that? That the physical effect could lead to even heart problems or a stroke? Living with despair, living with hopelessness? Let me tell you, friends, our Heavenly Father did not create us with the plan to live in hopelessness. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk in the freedom of being set free from fear and despair and even the bondage of sin. That is why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to renew and restore that relationship that we could have with God. Now, for Cleopas and his friend, they were in despair, and they had more questions than they had answers. But as we see in this passage here, someone arrives to bring clarity to what was happening. They needed an explanation, and this unknown traveler, whom they would soon find out is Jesus Himself, He took time to give them an answer. Let's keep reading. Let's pick back up in verse 25. It says, He said to them, "How foolish and slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken." I know that sounds a little harsh. I think what he's saying here is that the wisdom has been given. The answers to the questions that they were debating had been given centuries before. The answers were there. He's going to explain. Verse 26, "Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into His glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted for them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and He gave the impression that He was going farther. But they urged Him, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over.' So He went in to stay with them. It was as He reclined at the table with them that He took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, but He disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts burning within us while He was talking with us on the road and explaining the Scriptures to us?' That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together." So we see that they not only were on the road to despair, they took the road back. Second point this morning is the road back to faith. I know again that we're talking about Emmaus and Jerusalem, but their journey that day was a faith journey. It was a journey in which their faith had been challenged. Their faith had not been consistent. They were wavering. And yet we see in this account that their faith is restored. It's a way back to the Lord. We see that again, Jesus meets them in their time of despair. He brings just the answer they need. And if you look down at verse 27, it says that He started with Moses. Now, who was Moses? Moses was the ancient deliverer of the people of Israel. They were in slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses was the one that God placed there to stand up and say, "Let my people go." And maybe Jesus was talking about that deliverance and about Passover and about the walk across the Dead Sea and into the promise, into the desert and looking for the promised land. Maybe He was recapping all of that. It says that He also talked about the prophets. I think what we see here is that Jesus is giving them really the grand narrative of Scripture, that God has been on a mission to rescue and redeem, to deliver people. Now, in this case of Moses, it was to deliver from a Pharaoh. But Jesus, as the true Messiah, the one that would fulfill all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, He was coming to rescue from a greater enemy. the enemy of sin and death, and that is why he had to die, because he was dying in our place. He took the sin that we committed and its penalty upon himself. He took that on the cross, and then he was buried in a tomb. But thanks be to God, 3 days later, he rose again, victorious over sin and the grave. So all of this is what Jesus was explaining and helping them to understand. And from that, the restored relationship with God takes care of despair, replaces it with hope, replaces it with renewed faith, gives wisdom and peace and joy. You see, these are all heavenly gifts that come when one is in a relationship, a right relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in many ways, I think we can look at this and see that Easter is a way to come back. Easter is an opportunity to draw near to the Lord and find, as these two did, answers to those probing questions. You see, God is the Creator. He made us. He knows us. And he knows that what we need is not a life of despair, but we need a life that is filled with everlasting hope and the promise that he has indeed defeated the grave for you and for me. You see, this was the missing puzzle piece that these two disciples needed. And once they got this information, once they had this new understanding, their despair was turned into hope, and their faith was alive again. They had hope, and they couldn't wait to get back to Jerusalem. Did you notice that it said that they had not wanted Jesus to go any further because it was getting late? Late in the almost evening time. And yet here they, when they get this information about Christ, what is it that they want to do? They immediately go back to Jerusalem. Now, how far of a journey did the text say it was? 7 miles. 7 miles to Emmaus. They'd already walked it. And it's like, you know, they can't call the Uber to go back, right? I mean, it's another 7-mile overnight journey to find the disciples. But friends, it couldn't wait. They had to make sure that others heard the good news, to hear that Jesus indeed was alive, just as he had said he would be. Again, I think that Easter provides an opportunity not just for these two, but also for you and me to have renewed faith. It's an opportunity to come back, to be set free from the despair of this world. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. And as we look around at this world, we know that hopelessness and despair can be found everywhere, and that people are longing to be set free from despair, to be set free from guilt, to be set free from fear. All of this comes with a walk with Christ, a personal relationship with him. Maybe today you need an encounter on the road that you're traveling down. Just like those disciples, I believe that Jesus still meets people right where they are. You've got a hard question for him, I encourage you to ask it. If you've got something that you're trying to seek clarity on in terms of the faith, bring it before him. Look to his word. It was the scriptures that answered the questions for these two disciples. And God's word is still alive and still speaking to us today. I invite you to take those thoughts to him. Now, next Sunday, we're going to look at a follow-up topic, the assurance of faith. So I invite you back. Maybe if you've ever struggled with the question, is my faith enough? Do I have a faith that gives me confidence that I know God, that I have a place being prepared for me? If you've ever laid awake at night wondering about these kinds of questions, I invite you back, because the good news is the Bible also answers those faith questions. And we'll look at them next Sunday, Lord willing. Well, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they needed answers, and the Lord showed up. Do you think the Lord still shows up today? Have you ever had an experience where you knew that he had an event, or he placed a person in your life because he knew what you were going through? I read about two young men, Evan Freeman and Pierce Dunn. They worked at a coffee shop in Washington State, a Dutch Brothers coffee shop. And they had customers coming through the drive-thru and a particular lady that they recognized. And one of them just asked her, "How's your day going?" And she looked up at him and tears started welling up in her eyes. She began to cry and she said, "Yesterday my husband died. He was only 37 years old. It was a shock. It was a tragedy." And these young men, hearing the need that this lady had, reached out through the drive-thru window, put their hands on her shoulder, and began praying for her. Isn't that something? Just think of them stopping the operations and stopping the drive-thru just so that they could meet this lady in her point of need. I'll tell you, friends, I believe that Jesus showed up on the road to Emmaus. But do you think Jesus can show up in a Dutch Brothers coffee shop? I think he did, through his people. And maybe today you sense that he is reaching out to you as well. For some of us, this is a day to reflect upon the hope that we have, to look back on that day when we placed faith in Christ as Savior, and to know that his victory over the grave gives us an everlasting hope. But for others, this day might be the day to meet the Savior on the road that you're walking down. Just think about it. Easter 2023 could be the day that you look back on and say, "That's the day. That's the day that I placed my faith in Christ." And from that day forward, everything changed. Everything changed, and I had a renewed hope. I've been set free from sin and guilt and despair, and have instead received a new life in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the description of your glorious resurrection. We thank you for the angels that you sent to announce it. We thank you for those women who so faithfully proclaimed that you were alive. And we thank you, Lord, for being a God who meets us at our point of need. Father, you know everyone that is in this room right now. You know those who are watching online. You know the needs that exist. You know the fears that may be present. And God, I pray that you will take your Holy Spirit now and that you will work. I pray that you would draw each of us to a closer walk with you. I pray that you would answer any lurking questions or any issues that may be a challenge to our faith. Instead, Lord, may we look to you and see with minds and hearts ready to receive what you have for us. So, Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that we've been able to lift our voices in praise to a risen Savior who gives us hope for this day, but also for the days ahead. And we pray this now in his name, and all of God's people said, amen.